Okay, I don't know where Noah is. Okay, everybody, all is ready?
I'm ready.
Shalom, Rebbe.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome, welcome. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Rebbe Shai. We're in the middle of discussing the beginning of Siman Sadi Dalet, when we last left our heroes. And we saw in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkat Gimel, Machluk, Ezdin, the Magen Avraham, and the Shach, we put a few names on each side, as to whether the bliya goes into the whole spoon. Right, let's review what we said here. We have our, what was that, a fleishik spoon? No, it was a milchik spoon. Here is our milchik spoon. Right, so what was the question in the Shulchan Aruch? The question in the Shulchan Aruch is, we'll call this one, does the bliya go, oops, that's not what I meant, from here, let me draw this better, does the bliya go one from here to here, right? Does it go from the top of the spoon into the stew, the chicken soup? And here, in terms of one, what do we have? We have the Rabbi Peretz, who says that it travels, right? And we had the majority of Rishonim and the Mechaber Bissam, right, as opposed to the Yishomer, and the Rambah, who says no, it doesn't. Right, so therefore, if it was like 2 and 8, whatever, you only need 60 times 2, not 6 times the whole thing. Then what the Pesachei Tshuva pointed out is the very sophistic machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Shach. Machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Shach was the other question. Does the bliya of the chicken soup go into the top, all the way up to the top of the spoon? Right, just that's the opposite direction of the machlokes of Rabbeinu Peretz and other Rishon. So, lefi Rabbeinu Peretz, that's easy. It for sure travels. But how about lididah, right? For us, lahalacha, right? Just hold lahalacha. How about lahalacha? That was the machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Shach. said the Magen Avraham, it travels. And says the Shach, it doesn't travel. Right, that was the machlokes that we saw. How do we paskin in this? Here, so clear how we paskin. And here we pointed out the Mishnah Berurah and most Achronim paskin like the Magen Avraham that does travel. We asked the kasha on the shach. What was the kasha we asked? What was the kasha we asked on the shach? The kasha we asked on the shach was, hold on a second. We know that a blia from liquid travels through a kli even beyond where that food is from. What was the kasha on the shach? Here we have Sadi Bey's Sifhei. What was Sadi Bey's Sifhei? It was, here is your milking pot, cooking milk, and here is your fleshing tipa, which landed over there. And remember what we were afraid would happen, Shalom Kenegin Arotev, in Simen Tzadi Bey Sifhei, what we were afraid would happen, that the taste would go from the tipa through the kli. That's exactly against the shach. So the shach says, no, the taste doesn't go from a tipa to a different part of the kli. Or the taste doesn't go from food to a different part of the kli. But Sadi Bey says the taste does go from food to a different part of the kli. Right? That's what I think the last question we're dealing with. The Magen Avraham Taka says that's why he says Ashita. That's the Magen Avraham's main raya for Ashita. Right? Lefi Magen Avraham. Because taste does go from a food through all the parts of a kli. But the fi shach, this now becomes, according to the shach, this becomes difficult, right? Because the shach's whole shita is that, no, blios, just like we pass against the repairs, blios don't go from the other half of the kli to your soup. They don't go from your soup to the other half of the kli. So they shouldn't go from the tipa to the other half of the kli. Blios shouldn't travel beyond the part of the kli that's touching the food. That's the whole sheet of the shach. So how come we're afraid these blios go? And the shach didn't argue in some tiny days. He didn't say, oh, I don't hold from this whole thing. I mean, it's not a kasha in Rishonim or anything. The shach pulls from Rishonim on his side. It's not a kasha. Then Kishonah didn't have some Sadi Bey said, hey, that's not based in, it's not found in the Gemara, that's based on one interpretation of the Gemara. You could deny that whole thing. But Lahalacha, it's difficult. And the answer all of the Achronim give, and this is why I was very mitlabate last time, still deliberating last time, because if you look in the Shach that he's quoting, doesn't sound like this. Doesn't sound like there's any answer, and then it's impossible. So you look in the shach, it's very hard to figure out in the lashon of the shach what the answer is to this question. There's got to be an answer. But what do all the achronim assume, including the prima gadim right here in Sifkatan, in Sifkatan Gimel? What do the achronim say? The achronim limit this shach. They say no. This shach only applies to something like the case of a spoon here. A case where something was part of it stuck in a kli rishon and part of it only got secondary heat. But something which is at first you'd say the shach has nothing to do with heat. He's just saying blios don't go through a kli past where the food is. But apparently not. L'chora, unless someone comes up with something else, which I haven't managed to find the acronym. So what did the acronym answer? Answer that it depends. That if the holy is Ham Meha'esh, then even Shach admits that the Bliya travels he only disagreed with the Magen Avraham, I mean, anachronistically, he only disagreed with the Magen Avraham, or disagreed with lots of other Achronim earlier, said like the Magen Avraham, in a case like a spoon, where it wasn't all on the fire, right? He only disagreed with the Magen Avraham in a case like the kaf, which was ham miktsaso ham kulo. But if it's ham kulo mamish, then he wouldn't disagree, right? Hopefully it is. If it's ham kulo mamish, like the way of putting it, then even the shach mitz. Okay, that's the achronim answered for the shach. Now, the truth is, if you look in the shach there, it's going to go from a halfful of time until we get there, and we'll think about it. It doesn't terribly sound like this, which is why I was a little hesitating at the end of last year, because I'm like, it doesn't sound that way from the shach. That's what the achronim say. Can I think of anything different? I haven't yet. Okay, so that's what all the achronim say. So, in which case, in like a pot that's mamash sitting on the fire, there'd be no machlok shach in Magen Avraham. And that's the tzadik b'yisuf. Hey, machlok shach in Magen Avraham, but only in case like a spoon. So in a case like a spoon, we have a dual machlokas. A, does the taste from the top of the spoon go into the soup? Rabbi Peretz versus everyone else. B, if the taste of the top of the spoon doesn't go into the soup, does the taste of the soup go into the top of the spoon? Machlokas, Magen Avraham, and shach. And we pass like the Magen Avraham. Yep. Well, I would say that it transfers in the Kli Rishon itself, not in something which is inserted into the Kli Rishon. It's in a Kli. Okay, fair. Different than the Kli Rishon and something in a Kli Rishon. I mean, like in the Kol of the Kli Sheni, it's in a Kli Rishon. Yeah, but it's while we're leaving it there for the Shaila curse, right? The Shaila is what happens while we're leaving it there. Right, but okay, fine. Yeah, if you want to say it that way, you can.
It's possible to say much to the people, which is like has a force going into the Kli, and like putting it into the liquid.
Yeah, hard to imagine. And again, the answer is it depends what you get, what you mean by the word possible.
We pointed out last year that a possible not coming between Magen Avraham and the shop is people like Gala and half a Kli is a kind of cool. Right, you mentioned that? Isn't that not work? Isn't that the whole discussion different? Because they're discussing whether the water goes up into the pit.
So I'll say, you know, if that's what I said last year, then I didn't mean it in the way you repeated it. And we'll get to it. Okay. I mean, we can discuss it privately, but we'll get to it. Okay, Rabosai. Now, one other very important machlokes here is the Kresi Uplesi. There's an interesting shiur of the Kresi Uplesi, which is quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva here. Where is it quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva? I'm sure it's here someplace. What we just quoted is the Pesachei Tshuva, Sif, Katan, Gimel. But the Kresi Uplesi is quoted in the brackets at the end of the Pesachei Tshuva, Sif, Katan, Aleph. And that is a machlokes about the word Hatochet kaf kolevas b'kdir shal basro ibra misharin b'chol ma shenitcha b'menu b'kdira. What's tricky about the word kdira? That kdira in Isser v'hetter language from Shas to Rishonim to Achronim can mean one of two things. What are the two things it can mean? Pat or?
Tafshel.
Or the tafshel. The tafshel is also called the kdira. So what do we mean by this? Do we mean what's stuck in the pot or what's stuck in the food? It's not necessarily a question what the word means. Whatever the word means, what do we mean? Right? What do I mean by that? Let's go back to our original case. And here is my spoon. This part is 2. This part is 3, and this part is 2. All right, Safa Cole, you know, let's make it a 10 spoon, right? 3, 3, and 4. All right, our spoons are always 10. Are we 4th, 2? Okay, it doesn't really matter. The question is, how much do you need in the Kedera? Says Rabbeinu Peretz, in order for the soup to be mutter, you need 60 times 10. How about us? We say you only need Mashenitchav B'Kedera. Mashenitchav B'Kedera. What do we mean by Kedera? Do we mean the airspace of the pot? Or do we mean in the stew? So this is Machlokes in the Crazy Placey and most Achronim. Says the Crazy Placey. He says you need 60 times 7. Because Kedera equals pot. Whatever's stuck in the pot. Doesn't say what's stuck in the soup. It says what's stuck in the pot. And therefore, now again, that might be overly medayik. Therefore, he says you need 60 times 7. Because the taste does come out of here. Right? Because the taste does come out of here. Why did the taste come out of there? After all, it's not stuck in the pot. It says, it's not stuck in the stew. It's not touching the stew. It says, yeah, but it's in the Hevel HaKedera. There's thick steam here. With the thick steam here, it's touching the stew. With the thick steam here, it's Ke'ilu. That since it's touching the thick steam, that also counts as being in the stew. That's the shita of the Crazy Placey. However, most Achronim disagree. Basically, all the Achronim, the vast majority of Achronim disagree with the Crazy Placey. For example, the Shach already has a line here where he says, he doesn't deal with this explicitly, but in the answer to Gatan Aleph, he says, well, what if you don't know how much you stuck in? You go by how much you usually stick in, which is like the spoon part, not the handle. Oh, but the handle also goes in the airspace. Right? He says, only the kaf itself, not the handle. Rosh HaKaf. But if you went in the airspace, you're also sticking the handle. The stomach, the shach thinks that you only go by the bottom here. So the shach says only Rosh HaKaf, only the round part, not the handle. And most Achronim disagree with the case you place. So the deal from the shach. And most Poskim say, nope, 60 times 3. Kedera equals the food. The soup. So this is a big machlokes. When we say only what's touching the food, is what's touching the food, what's in the liquid, or even what's in the steam. Okay, this
how do we,
is...
How do we get to 7, though?
What?
How do we get to 7?
3 plus 4?
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't. I don't have a good connection, so I can't see that.
Okay. Yeah.
Now I see. Okay.
3, 4, 3, right? So 3, 4. 3 is 10. 3 and 4 is 7. And 3 is 3. Okay. So these are the three tails. Yes.
How do we know that there's space in the food
and the pot? If Luyitz, but Luyitzir, there is. Luyitzir, the pot's not all full, right? Then we'd have machlokes. Yeah, it could be the machaber. It could be the machaber's talking about where the pot is full, in which case there's no difference. Ah, you're saying we need the shach where the pot is full. Okay, could be. That's a diuk. It's not a diuk machrach, but the achronim like the diuk. Why? Because minastam, you cover all kinds of pots. Meaning minastam, you're talking about all cases. And it's perfectly normal for the pot not to be full, right? So minastam, you're talking about all cases. It's a teretz to say he's talking about where the pot is full. Minastam, he's talking about all cases. I think that's fair. If you're stuck, you always make it okemta. But I think it's an okemta. Otherwise, it's all cases. Sometimes I fill up my pot. Usually I don't fill up my pot. Assuming the old days also they usually didn't fill up their pot. Okay, here's the machlokas. How do we, obviously there's a little reminiscent of the oven machlokas. How do we paskin? We paskin, almost all the poskin, paskin like, well, we know we don't paskin like Rabbeinu Peretz against the Crazy Placey, and they paskin, almost all their Rabbeinu paskin against the Crazy Placey, and they paskin like the deer from the shach. Yes. Yes, the difference in coming out and going in. That's the Chabad of Magen Avraham. Only for going in, not for coming out. Why? Because going in starts with the food, which is more powerful. Going out starts with the blia, which is less powerful. That's the Chabad of Magen Avraham. Okay, the interesting, I just went out, the Crazy Placey brought a riot. What was the riot of the Crazy Placey? The riot of the Crazy Placey was... the sheet of the re. Remember what the re said? that if a piece of meat is half in the world tev and half out of the world tev, then the drop of milk that goes into the piece of meat goes through the whole stew. So, likewise, if the spoon is half in the world tev, half out of the world tev, then the bleah should go through the whole stew. At least the parts that didn't steam, you know, like the piece of meat. Right? So just like the drop, the piece of meat, the tom goes through the whole stew apart from the reed, the ichor didn't hold like the reed. Likewise, from here, but the ichor of ardocha this in two ways. A, you know, we're not going to read them inside, but the I don't think this is in here. I am a true Sam Sofer. Okay, he quotes the Sam Sofer disagrees. Sam Sofer says, they don't need a food and a clean. Just because a food that's half in, half out, all the bleas will go through it. That's just food is very porous. A clea is not so porous, and you can't compare a clea to a piece of meat. Or the other option is, based on the Prima Gadin, the piece of meat has been cooking there the whole time. So it's cham kulo mamish. Can't compare that to the spoon, which is only cham ktsasel cham kulo. So really, even though the crazy policy thought he had a knockout raya, that raya is really not so good. A, because you can't compare a piece of meat to a spoon. B, you can't compare something that was heated the whole time to something that was just stuck in now. So therefore, we don't postulate the crazy place.
What was he thinking
of that? He was thinking that, I don't know if he has to be thinking something, that everything is the same until proven otherwise, and he couldn't prove it was otherwise. Okay, the last thing I wanted to mention here is the shach here, the machlokas between the shach and the no de Yehuda about what if you don't know how much of the clue you stuck in. The starts of the shach, says the shach here, Sivkat and Aleph. It depends how much you stuck in, right? We decide it's only what's mamish in the soup. What if you don't know how much you stuck in? So, he quotes the Marshal who says, you go by the derech, the stam way to stick in. Okay, fair enough. Which is only the round part, not the handle. Again, that was in his reality. In our days, say, no, stop, whatever people might stick in, that's what you have to go by. The Nodi Huda is an interesting shayla. He says, what if you don't know, right? Meaning, sometimes you can tell what part is wet, what part is dry. But you don't know, it was already dried off, etc. But you think you remember. You remember. Can you be trusted to remember? So, simple pshat of the shach is, you can't be trusted to remember. If you don't know, you go by the usual way, but if you know, you know. But, not so clear, the Nodi Huda discusses this. What if you remember? Do you trust your memory or not? Why might or might you not trust your memory? This would be similar to a focus shach and pas a little later in the simon. Because there's a rule in Bava Metzia. What's the rule? I think it's in Bava Metzia. Kol milsa, the ramulin, and she lava daiti. Whatever someone's not responsible for, whatever someone doesn't ascribe any significance to, they don't pay attention to. This is mainly used in dini mamonos, etc. Right? For example, if Ben proves that I owe him $1,000, and I claim, don't you remember? I paid you the $1,000. I paid you $1,000 on the corner of Devani Street and Nezer David at exactly 3 p.m. And then we have Aiden who prove I was not at that corner at 3 p.m. I say, I didn't mean Devani and Nezer David. I really meant Hackney and Nezer David or Zeal or whatever it's called at that point. So I believed. The answer is yes. Why? I was caught lying. No, that's not called lying, since it's not important what corner I was on. Therefore, I was medactic, and I don't remember properly. You're not responsible to remember insignificant aspects of the story. Only the important, the relevant aspects. Okay, yeah. How would you ever know? Let's say you hadn't washed it yet, and you could see some part of the spoon was wet and some part was dry. The wet part is what went into the soup, and the dry part didn't. Or if not, there's shakos and marshal, what people usually do. And if there's a range of what people usually do, he doesn't say, but logically you have to be machmer. Okay, so it could be that you have physical evidence, or you go by what people usually do. Says in Rabbi Huda that you trust your memory. But it wasn't important. Because you didn't think you were putting a melfik spoon in a fleshik soup. You thought it was a fleshik spoon in a fleshik soup. You made a mistake.
right? If you had known that it was all along Shiley, you wouldn't have done it in the first place. The whole point is you made a mistake thinking this was not significant. So why do we trust your memory? And we do. He proves from many places in Shas that even if someone later discovers that something's awfully significant, we don't trust their memory. Because at the time, they weren't paying attention because they considered it insignificant. So he says, now, since in general this is the kind of thing that could be significant halachically, that sometimes these mistakes happen, it matters how much of the spoon you put in, therefore we trust your memory. Okay, that is the kula of the Nod Behuda. The Pesachei Tshuva himself, this is one of these rare cases where he gives his own opinion, he disagrees with the Nod Behuda. He says that's not a very good svara, since at the time you thought it was Dvarim Shel Mabekach, therefore we don't trust your memory. So that's a machlokas between the Nod Behuda and the Baal Pesachei Tshuva. Do we trust your memory or do we not trust your memory? No, halacha lemaisa, it's not so clear. I think that someplace. Anyway, halacha lemaisa, not so clear, because the Pesachei Tshuva seems to have a good point. Which is that, you know, at the time you didn't think it was important. So who cares that you know sometimes shilas come up? How often do these shilas come up? Why are you necessarily paying attention? So the halacha lemaisa, not pasha to be makel. Okay, that's what we want to say about Sif Aleph. If there's no other questions, we'll go on to Sif Beis. Yes? That's the tricky part, which is how many people are really so halachic? We know the Yehuda was only a stam person. So a stam person in his days was more halachic than a stam person in our days? It's, I don't know. And the Baal HaBasim in the Yehuda's time did? I don't know.
If you know for a fact that this person...
If you know for a fact...
That this person doesn't know.
Yeah, halach lemaisa, meaning... Halacha lemaisa, I would be makel if there were other disciples of Hakel, or if for some reason this guy was super duper sure in a way that, you know, seemed to be different than a normal case. But I hear your taina. I just wonder what the Nod Behuda was thinking there. Okay, look, that's the kasha of the Nod Behuda, as far as the little duck. Okay, Sif Beis. Im tachav kaf bekdera shnei pa'amim lo noda bin tayim. You stick your milking spoon in the fleshy pot twice. Not so crazy. I mean, if you made a mistake and stuck it in once, it's decently likely that you'll stick it in twice. And you didn't realize in between. I mean, it would be a weird case to realize in between. That means you forgot it was a milk spoon, stuck it in, then realized, then forgot again and stuck it in. Okay, you have to be, you know, senile and suffering from something. But a more normal case, no, no, they've been tied. Right? That's a normal case. You stick it in twice because it's all one mistake. So, you need 120 times the spoon to be mevatlet. Says the Rambam, "Yeshem v'sagim achashishim v'chein noagim achlokes svardim and Ashkenaz." And the Rambam is based on the Trumas Edeshin, as it says right here, and some etc. Trumas Edeshin and some of the Hagashari Dur, which is also the Trumas Edeshin. And the Urach, which is the Talmud of Trumas Edeshin. So it's, you know, one Sora, and the Mechaber is based on the Smak. Okay, what's the Machlokas here? Why should you need twice the spoon, 120 times the spoon, to be a Mevatlet? Let's just change our numbering system for a while. For the sake of argument, we'll assume that the spoon is one big. One what? I don't really care. Let's go with the dice. Right? What?
One unit,
thank you. Very properly mathematical. Anyway, let's assume the way we passed in, we're only going by the part that's in here. This is one. So why would you need 120 to be mevatlet? So says the Mechaber, what's the, everyone explains here, says, what's the chashash? The chashash is that in the first techiva, what might happen? Remember, we have no clear mesorah or formula for working out how much bleos transfer from food to a kli, from kli to a food, etc. So, what we always have to assume the worst case scenario. What's the worst case scenario? Is that in the first chiva, 59/60 of
Ham Cholov went from the calf into the top shell, and 59/60 of Tam Basar went from the top shell into the calf, right? Switch places, right? Why 59/60? Just because that's the worst case scenario. You know, what are the odds that it happened? We don't know, because we have no way of knowing the odds of anything. We always have to assume the worst because there's no other formula that we can use. And then what happens? Let's think what happens. Then, when you remove the calf, what happens? The calf is 1/60 chalav, 59/60 basar. That's not enough for bittul, 59 to 1. Yeah, and technically, as I was saying, what are it could be 59.9 to 1, not 50, but doesn't really make a difference. Good enough, and therefore, the calf becomes chanan because it's basar chalav. And now the calf is chanan. Now what happens in your second piva? The second piva, what happens? What? Loud?
The calf is originally called meat?
Yes, that's why it's blue.
So now, why is everything when we move the calf 1/60, even if it's 59/60?
Ah, because if it's 59/60 chalav, then only 1/60 chalav went into the pot, and that's not as bad. We want to make it worse. You want to make the most chalav go into the pot the first time, and yet it still be chanan when you take it out. Right? If only 1/60 chalav went into the pot and 59/60 stayed in the calf, then only a little bad things went into the pot, so it's not so bad. Correct, the calf would be chanan no matter how it worked, anything between 1 and 59. But this, I'll show you why this worst case scenario in a second. Second, chiva. So, let's approximately. This is approximately 1, right? Or actually, let's not approximate yet. Okay, so what's the weight in the second chiva? The second chiva, 1 ounce of ta'am, also b'cholav, to the top shell. Now, how much Isser went into this top shell? Let's think for a moment. How much Isser went into the top shell? Calf into top shell, add up total calf into top shell is first 59/60 went the first time. That's why I said that, because I wanted to maximize the number. And then 1 went the second time. It could be 59/60. Did the Shach say 59/60? Or does he not say? Doesn't really matter. What? Okay, so let's make it 1/60 is 1 59/60, which is approximately 2, and therefore you need 60 times 2 for bittul, which is exactly what the Mechaber said. Okay, says the Shach. Ah, why don't we worry that 59/60 the basar b'chalav went into the pot the second time, and 1/60 of basar b'chalav stayed in the calf. And then 59/60 of basar went into the calf. And when you took the calf out next time, it was 1/60 of basar b'chalav, 59/60 of basar. So it all became trace, so it became chanan again, a third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time. Why did the chaver stop at 2? So the answer is because the first time you have a mixture of chalav and basar. If you pull the shtick again, you have a mixture of basar b'chalav and basar. Chalav and basar, you say chanan. That's chalav combining with basar. Basar b'chalav and basar, that's just Isser combining with Heter. Isser combining with Heter is Shari Surim, and in Shari Surim, the Mechaber doesn't say Chanan. So that's why we didn't go more than twice. That's the Shach here. Yes, the Havmin is, why not say, here's the Havmina, say that why for the second time, 59/60 of Tam basar b'chalav went from the calf to the Kedera, 1/60 of Tam Basar went from the Kedera, meaning the Tashal to the calf, and then you remove it, and now it has 1/60 of Basar B'chalav, and then we stick it a third time, it does it again, and a fourth time again, and a fifth time again, and a sixth time again,
The answer is, because it won't be Hanan now. Now it's not a mixture of meat and milk. It's a mixture of meat and meat that became Basar B'chalav. So it's really a mixture of meat of Heter and Issachar, not of meat and milk. Keep in mind, this Basar B'chalav is really only 1/3600th milk, because it's a 60th of a 60th. It's just 1/60th of Hanan. Hanan is just an Isser, and therefore an Isser combined with Heter doesn't make Hanan. Look, Chalav mixes with Basar, that makes Hanan.
Right, but I'm saying exactly
what
it's an object with Basar going into...
I know, so it won't make Hanan, but it'll make Isser. When Isser goes into Heter, it can make it Basar, it just can't make it Hanan. Right? Meaning, if the Isser is more than a 60, if it's Treif, it's not Hanan. So you're right, this pot wouldn't be Hanan now, but it would still be Treif. Okay, so that's, we don't say this because this is considered, this is the Hadamim of the Shach. The Shach's something goes through this whole logic, which is Sifkat and Dalid, because this is only considered Shar Isurim. Therefore, there's no Hanan for Sfardim, and the Ramah has a different idea anyway, so it doesn't matter. Okay, that's where we stop at two. But nonetheless, if you are Sfardi and this happens, you need 120 times the spoon to be vatal. Why? Because you're afraid the first time the challah went in, except a little was left to make a Hanan when you remove the spoon. And second time around, the Hanan taste went in. And therefore, you have almost two Kzeisim of Isser in your pot, Chalav and Hanan in your pot, which both combine to Asur your pot. And therefore, you need 120 to be in Vatalim. That's the Machaber. The Shach here deals with two things in Sifkat and Hain, Sifkat and Vav. That's the Shach, Sifkat and Dalet. Number one, the Machaber implies a Heter. What Heter does the Machaber imply? The Machaber implies the Heter that there's no Noda being Taim. What if it was Noda being Taim? If it was Noda being Taim, then you don't need 120. Why not? Why is it different if it was Noda being Taim? Says the Machaber. If Noda being Taim, then it's different. Why is it different if Noda being Taim? Anyone want to give me the halachic phrase in three words or less? Okay.
If it's only happens when you know.
If Bittl only happens when you know if put it in, then that's not going to help him at all. If you knew... So Bittl happens when you know. When you know, that makes the Bittl happen. And once there's a first Bittl, then it's Bittl, and then when there's a second Bittl. You don't add them together. And you know what that's called in Gemara language? Or Rishonim language? It's called Kama Bittl. Right, there is an epic heavyweight championship boxing match between two concepts. Kama Bottle versus Choser Veneer. Each of which have a course in Shas, that's a whole sugya and some inciting text. Kama Bottle versus Chozer Veneer. Kama Bottle means each first one and first one and first one is Bottle. Right, remember Mavr Rishon, the Drush of Chazal. That what happens if a little Isser falls in my Heter, and then a little Isser falls in my Heter, and then a little Isser falls in my Heter, and then a little Isser falls in my Heter, and then a little Isser falls in my Heter, etc. Let's say I know in between each time. But each time is separate. The first one is bottled, then the second one is bottled, then the third one is bottled, and the fourth one is bottled, and the fifth one is bottled, and the sixth one is bottled. And they're all bottled. Oh, they add up to more than the 60th. It doesn't matter. They're bottled a little at a time. That's what the Gemara says in some cases. Kama bottle, first by first is bottled. But you understand that that's not such a pashat svara, right? Meaning, okay, those of us who have kids who are a little older, that's what they always try to get away with, right? Five more minutes. And what's going to happen terrible in 5 minutes? All of a sudden, it's 3 a.m. and I haven't got to bed yet. Right? So that's called Choser Veneer. Choser Veneer means it goes back and reawakens. Okay, it's about I love Yashona, whether it reawakens or re-strengthens. What's the shorish is, I'll predict it, but it doesn't matter. Goes back and reawakens, meaning, what the point? The point is, if I have 60 heter plus one iser plus one iser, with a little pause, Tamahama Batel tells you 60 to 1 equals mutter. Now I have 61 heter. 61 to 1 is still mutter, right? Because once one was Batel, I have 61 heter, it's still mutter. Close of Rinera says no, 60 to 1 is mutter. But when the second one falls in, it reawakens the first one. 60 to 2 is usser. This is a machlokes, tremendous machlokes you've shown him, with chilukim between a zillion different kinds of cases, whether we say Chos or Reneir or Kamakama Batel, and according to most Rishonim, then some cases one and some cases the other. Halach Lamaisa in Shochan Arach, Simon Sadi Tes, Chos or Reneir wins. Chos or Reneir wins. We say Chos or Reneir. That's the Psak of the Ramah, and seemingly the Psak of the Machaber as well, that we always say Chos or Reneir. Whenever more Isser falls, and then later more, and then later more, it always reawakens, and you add up all the Isser together. You don't say, we close the tikkun one at a time. Maybe Hashem does that with Mavro Rishon Rishon sometimes, but that's because he's Rav Chesed, your day is not Rav Chesed, and we don't say that. Okay, here's the question. What is the Machaber doing here? Says the Machaber, what if no the Beitayim? Then, if no the Beitayim, then here you have 60 to 1 in the top shell, and therefore it's mutter. Now, in the second chiva, at this point, bygones are bygones, right? That's, in English, how you say kama kama batel, right? The bygones be bygones. History, it's in history books, and you have 60 to 1, and therefore it's mutter again. You don't say 60 to 2, or to 1 in 59 60s, whatever it may be. No, you don't say it's, you don't need 120 because it's to 2. No, it's to 1, and then to 1. You're about to the 1 with 60, and you're about to the 1 with 60. As long as you know the meantime, you can say, comma, comma. So, that is the Psak of the Machaber here. Ask the Shach, Stira in the Machaber. Ask the Shach, Stira in the Machaber. How can he pass in comma, comma, bottle here if we don't pass in comma, comma, bottle in general? Meaning, what about a normal case, not sticking a spoon twice? What about actually dropping an iser twice? Right? Or sticking in two spoons. If you stuck in two spoons, one milchik spoon, then another milchik spoon, he wouldn't say kama kama batel, he'd say chozer reneir. If you dropped in a little milk and a little milk, he'd say chozer reneir. How come in this case he says kama kama batel? I understand, it's all one spoon. It's not really two things, all one spoon. But nonetheless, halach can we envision a scenario where it's if it's two things. So why doesn't he say Chos or Reneir here like in Simon Sadi test? That's the Shach's question. And what is the Shach's answer? In Simon Sadi test, Chos or Reneir wins. This is the Stira that the Shach deals with in Sivkat, I believe I said hey. And his answer is very lumpish. What's his answer? His answer is this, is that really we should only say kama kama batel, and here he's basing himself on lots of Rishonim. Really we should say kama kama batel. There's bittel. What happens in bittel? In bittel it all turns into heter. Right? Think about it. 1 ounce of milk falls into my 60-ounce chicken soup. Now it's all mutter. It's really all mutter. The proof is I can eat it. 1 ounce of lard falls into my 60-ounce chicken soup. Now it's all mutter. I can eat it all. I can eat every last drop. I also ate the lard and the milk and whatever. No, it's all mutter. Once it's all mutter, now it's all batel. Why do we have to reawaken it? However, what's the reason that we say Chos or Reneir explains the Shach? It's a good deal. It's the only way to explain the Chaver that I know of. What's the reason we say Chos or Reneir? Because of reality. Imagine this. I have 100-ounce chicken soup. I drop in 1 ounce of lard, butthole. I realize, okay, butthole. Now another ounce of lard drops in, and I realize, butthole. A third ounce of lard drops in, and I realize, butthole. The problem is, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, and a seventh, and an eighth, and a ninth, and a tenth. right? At this point, it's getting one of those red stickers for, you know, Schumann, Ravoy, you know, in large quantities. The problem is it tastes like lard. Like, who am I fooling? It's a fact that it tastes like lard. Kamakama Buckle has to bow to facts. And the fact is that it tastes like lard. When you change the taste, that overrides Kamakama Buckle, and that creates Chozerman here. Chozerman here is created by changing the taste. Ah, says the Shach, what about Minbamino? Let's say I have 100 ounces of kosher orange juice, and in falls an ounce of treif orange juice, and an ounce of treif orange juice. The Mechaber still says Chozer B'Neir, even though I can't tell a taste difference. He says no, because if it was lard, I would have tasted the difference. Like, basically, we only say Chozer B'Neir when it changes the taste, or when it's similar to a case that could have changed the taste, which you could easily be confused about. After all, if orange juice and orange juice falls into orange juice, it's not that different from wine and wine falling into orange juice. And if it was wine and wine, I would be able to taste the difference. Right? If treif chicken soup and treif chicken soup falls into chicken soup, it's not that different from milk and milk falling into chicken soup, or lard and lard falling into chicken soup, or I would taste the difference. So what's the chap of the shach? The answer is that we only say, what's the answer? Only if the ta'am changes, right? The ta'am is nirgash, if you can, or it is similar to a case where the ta'am changes. Meaning, ta'am changes is min b'she'eino mino. If one type of food falls into another type of food twice, it changes the time. How can I not say Chozer B'Neir? Or min b'mino, right? If it's the same type of food, but still, that's similar to a different kind of food, and which could change the taste. But, one second, let's finish the shach. Let's say I stick a spoon in many times. I stick a spoon in many times. Will that tarovis ever add up to changing the taste, no matter how many times I stick in the spoon? I stick a one spoon into a 60 soup 100 times. Will it ever change the taste of the soup? No, because the spoon is only one. It's very nice we have our halachic kanans that create halachic constructs of additional treif things, but it can never change the taste. Because if you think about it, the first time milk taste will go into the soup. The second time, kanan taste of meat, of chicken will go into the soup. But basically, all we're worried about is that in addition to what's going into the soup besides the taste from the spoon? Recycled hanan taste from the soup itself. But recycled taste from the soup itself that got hanan still tastes like the soup. I can never, meaning you can have hanan all you want, you can't change the laws of physics. A 1 ounce spoon can never change the taste of a 60 ounce soup, no matter how many times you say hanan. For the change of taste, you need a different actual physical object, not just hanan to happen. And therefore, says the here, it is not even similar to a case where the ta'am would change. Because for the ta'am to change, you need to stick two different things into your soup. Sticking the same thing into your soup many times will never change the ta'am of your soup. And therefore, it's not, you know, dropping in two drops of orange juice is similar to two drops of wine to orange juice. Dropping in two drops of treif chicken to chicken soup is similar to two drops of ham to chicken soup. But sticking a spoon in twice is not similar to, is just similar to what? I don't know, it's similar to sticking in a piece of cheese twice. Sticking in a piece of cheese twice will not change the time any more than sticking it in once. Physically, it's still only one piece of cheese. That's the chap of the shach here, that we don't say, when you don't know, then it's a problem. When you have yediyah that breaks it up, and you say kamakama batel, and there's the one case you don't say chozer b'neir, because not only won't it taste like milk, of course you can't taste the milk. There's still only 1 ounce of milk. No amount of chanan will make you taste the milk. Not only do you taste the milk, it's not even similar to a case where you can taste the milk. Because you're sticking the same thing many times, even if you're stuck in cheese many times. 1 ounce of cheese many times, you still wouldn't be able to taste it. Okay, that's the chap of the shach.
I mean, it's like minbamino, meaning this new hanan taste is like the case of minbamino, and then if it potentially would have changed face if it was...
No, it's two steps removed. See, it's like a Min Reino falling in twice, which is like Min Reshainamino falling in twice. That's... Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's still not like it because these cases are all two things falling in. Here it's the same thing falling in twice. That's where the Shach draws the line. Of course, what like something? Because you draw the line wherever you want. You make Xera. Only something like the Isser Daraisa gets Xera. How do I know when it's like? You have to use your judgment, draw the line. So place the Shach says, and I don't know of any other Pshat in the Machaber. Shach says, the Machaber says that where do we draw the line? We draw the line between sticking in one thing twice versus sticking in two things. When two things fall in, we say, closer in air, whether it changes the taste or whether it doesn't, because it could have changed the taste, if it had been the right kind of thing. When you stick in the same thing twice, we never say closer in air. That is the Pshat of the Shach. Correct. That is what we're saying. Yes. That is Pashup Shat. Yeah, can you get out of it? B'dochak. That's what we mean. Okay. Now, how about the Ramah? What does the Ramah say here? The Ramah goes further. Yeshom desagi pam achas shishim v'chein noagim. Yeshom desagi pam achas shishim v'chein noagim. Okay, what's the reason for the Ramah here? Says the Ramah. Now, there are many ways you can explain the Ramah. But maybe for now, till we get to later in Simen Tzadi Ches, we'll explain just the Ramah, as the Shach points out. He's really matter more than this in Simen Tzadi Ches. But the Ramah is quoting Trumas Deshen. What's the svar of the Trumas Deshen? The Ramah says, and this is what we paskim, so we're Ashkenazim, you never need more than 60. Meaning, it never makes a difference how many times you stick in the spoon. Makes no difference how many times you stick in the spoon. Okay, because the Trumas is a weird case. If you stick the milking spoon into meat, and stir the meat, the chicken soup, and then you stir something else with it, and then you go back and stir the chicken soup, that counts as two different spoons, because first it was with the blia from the milk, and now it was with the blia from the other thing you stirred in between. But that's a weird case, right? Normal case for Ashkenazim, someone says, oh, I stirred my chicken soup accidentally with a milchik spoon, and the milchik spoon ben yomo. You don't have to ask how many times did you stick it in. Makes no difference. Why not? Why aren't we worried about, chozer and air? Or why aren't we at least worried when you didn't know in between that it would add up together? So there are many ways you could explain the Ramah, but the Ramah is really based on the Trumas Hadeshen. What's the Ha of the Trumas Hadeshen? Says the Trumas Hadeshen, which becomes the Ramah. Let's look at this box. This box is controversial. Says the Trumas Hadeshen. He disagrees. He says this never gets off the ground. Kaf never becomes Hanan. Why not? So the Shach doesn't fully explain here. But if you look at the Trumas Hadeshen, he does. He says because of a Sfeik's Vegan. There are two reasons why it might not be Hanan. One reason is because we keep mentioning this again. I'm going to tell you the Shikhi will say, isn't this against Sadi Beis, if hey, of Tivas Kalov? I know it's against. We don't rely on the Shita alone, but it's a Shita. A, there's a Shita, the Ramban and others. Yesh Omrim, the Ein Hanan, the Kalim. Again, it's that whole Simen Tzadi Beis, etc. No, a Kli can't become Hanan. I mean, even like the Kli is inside a Kli can't become Hanan. Hanan is only in a piece of food, not in a Kli. We don't rely on that Shita normally. But over here, we have a second Sad Lohaka. And we don't rely on either of these Shitas normally. Right? Meaning, we don't rely on either of these. But we do rely on both of them. We don't rely on either of these svaras alone, but we do rely on both these svaras together. Yesh Omrim, remember we saw this long time at the end of Tzadi Beis, right? Everything goes back to Tzadi Beis. Yesh Omrim, the Hakaf, Achar, Sheh, Hotzi Osa Min Hakdera Dina Kikli Shemi. This calf is a ladle. The ladle, while it's in the pot, it's in a Kli Rishon. When you take it out of the pot, is it still a Kli Rishon or is it a Kli Shemi? Right? That was the suffix in the Machlokas that the Taz brought down by Ril and Tosos, and etc. It said at the end of Sadi Beis, the continuation of Sukkot Lama and the Taz. it's a safek or a machlokes whether a ladle, once it leaves the pot, is a kibush of klisheni. So hold on a second. This does not become chanan. Why? It's one part chalav, 59 parts basar inside the kaf. Why wouldn't it be chanan? Because fake sega, maybe it's a klibisho, maybe it's a klisheni. Klisheni can't become chanan because it's not cooked. And even if it's a klibisho, maybe chanan doesn't apply to kalim and only to actual be'en pieces of food. And therefore, the kaf never becomes chanan, and that's why there's no problem according to the Truma Sadesh. Yummy. Okay. So here is, but why did I say remove the kaf? Why can't the kaf become chanan while it's inside? The answer is, this is an achronim word. The achronim word is called makusher. Makusher. Makusher with a kuf, right? Means connected, right? Kesher. Because as long as it's inside, it can't become chanan because it's connected to the whole stew. And in the whole stew, there's not enough milk. There's less than a 60th. So while it's connected to the whole stew, it can't become chanan because only 1 to 60. 1 to 60 is not enough for chanan. Once you take it out of the stew, now it's not makusher anymore. Now it's a darbin tayatzbo. As a darbin tayatzbo, it's only 1 to 59 in worst case scenario. But while it's in the stew, it's makusher. And before you remove it, this is an achronim word. I don't think it's in the Rishonim. Makusher. Makusher, meaning it's makusher to the soup. And therefore, it can't become chanan because it's makusher to the soup, which is 1 to 60 ratio. And a 1 to 60 ratio can't become chanan. So it can't become chanan while it's in because it's makusher to a soup where it's batel. And once you take it out already, it's a double thing out smoke, but now you have a sveik sveika. Maybe it's a cliche, and it can't become chanan because it's not cooking it together. Maybe it's a cliche, maybe it's a cliche, maybe chanan doesn't apply to kalim, and those two starting together are enough to be mako, so says the Truma Sadesh.
Didn't a monk at some point say it's looking on kalim?
The Rama says, look later on, where I'll discuss whether there's chanan with kalim, is what he said, if I recall correctly. And in the end, later on, he'll say there is in many cases. It's not going to clear what he means. Okay, we'll see. Okay, that is Simon. Okay, there's more to talk about. What the Shach mentioned in the end, he says in Simon Tzadi Ches, there are even more makel than this. Okay, so we get Simon Tzadi Ches, we'll discuss that. Let's go on to Sif Gil. Yoni. Yes, the concept of kosher is that while a kli is in the food, or for that matter, the food is in the kli, you don't look at the kli as a separate object to decide whether it became chanan. You view it as connected to everything. Everything's connected. And therefore, it can't become chanan while it's inside, because everything's connected. A makusher only applies to a kli, not to a food. Yes, makusher doesn't apply to food. So you shouldn't have asked me from earlier Isser Davut, which is an invention of the latest Shnatim Rishon. You should have asked me for a foolish Gemara in Daf Kuf Ches, which says that when a Kzayis Basar falls in and milk goes into the pores of the Basar, that milk becomes Chanan, even though it's Makusher. So the answer is you only say Makusher by Kalim, not by food. Okay, the concept of Makusher is, that's the concept of Makusher. It's an important concept. It's not found anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. Even though you see this, Shmuel Zedesha is saying it. Again, I'm not going to swear to you whether he used the word Makusher or not. So it could be only the Achronim use the word makusher, but it doesn't matter. He has the concept. What does this have to makusher mean? If there's a kli in the rotev, if a kli is in the rotev, we view it as part of larger tarovis of the whole top shell and not as a tarovis by itself.
Why should this be something that's different than food or kalim?
Because food is so porous that when a food absorbs a blia, then that food and blia have such mamashas that they're a tarot v'yatzman. But a kli is not as porous as food, and therefore the bli in a kli is not considered to be a darb of the atzmo. It's still connected to the rest of the pot. That's it's even better. When a kazayas busser falls in and absorbs some milk, there's like mamish mamoshes in that milk that goes in there. So it's really a separate, you could view it as a separate Indian. Same for, even for Isra Dalek. Okay, that, I think that's the, I'll say it in a better way. I'm going on a limb, I'm assuming like a certain chakra that all the post-apostle like, so I'm comfortable. When a piece of food has a bliya inside it, it's still, it's a real food, so it's a different unit than the rest of the soup. When a kli has blias inside it, it has this kind of blias inside it and that kind of blias inside it, it itself doesn't have halachic status. Only the blias inside it have halachic status. And the blias inside it are too connected to the rest of the broth. They're not independent. A food has independence. A kli doesn't have independence because the kli is independent. The kli is not edible. The blias inside it are not independent. Okay, I realize I'm saying things. I'm not giving a scientific reason. Okay, but that's the best I can do. I mean, it could be if I was a scientist, maybe I discover that scientifically works. Maybe I discover it didn't. I'm not sure exactly how I would do the experiments. But as a construct, we can accept it. Okay, Sif Gimel. The Amy Shishan Levatel Akaf. Let's review what we said until now. Until now, what we said is that if you stick Sif Aleph, let's read the main points, just the structure. It's a well-structured sentence. Sif Aleph. If you stick a milchik spoon in a fleshik pot, obviously, or vice versa, then you need 60 to be involved with the spoon. The food needs to be 60 times the spoon to make it kosher, and what part of the spoon you're measuring. So we want to know how to measure shishim, which part of the spoon. Bays, how to measure shishim, depending on how many times you stuck it in. Gimel, now that you measured shisha based on aleph and bays, and you either discovered that it was less than a 60th or more than a 60th, what's the halacha? So, in ye shisha levat lakaf, we start with, what if there is shisha levat lakaf, right? I mean, there are two possibilities. There is and there isn't. Obviously. So what if there is shisha levat lakaf?
Shisha now
is 1.3. If you suck it in twice. Correct. Shisha based on everything you said until now, there's shisha of what you need. Then hakdir tashlum mutar. The pot and the stew are mutter. Why is the stew mutter? Because whatever please came out of the spoon are batal shishim the stew. Why is the pot mutter? Because the pot only touched the stew. So if the stew is mutter, the pot is mutter. Avala kaf asur. The spoon is still asur. Why? Because if you think about it, right, the spoon was less than a 60th, so it can't affect the stew. But of course, it's affected by the stew. The please of the stew go into the spoon because they're much larger than the spoon. Now the spoon is full of pleas of meat and pleas of milk. Now the kaf is basar b'chalav. It has basar b'lius and chalav b'lius. Technically, is this kaf chanan? The Rama would say no, because while it's inside, it's mekusher and it's basar b'shishim. And once you take it out, you have the sfeik sveika. But it's still treif. And whether or not it's chanan, it's still treif, right? So a kaf asur bein and basar bein and chalav. It is also used for both meat and milk. Lefishi plua mi basar b'chalav, because it is has a bliya of. Because it has a bliya of basar b'chalav. One second. The shach interestingly says that it's also asur for parif because it becomes chanan. So why this kaf becomes chanan is a bit controversial. That seems to go against the shach in Sifkat and Vav. Could be that it only becomes chanan according to the Mechak, who doesn't hold like this Trumas Hadesh. Okay, so this kaf and now treif. That what? Yeah, but that's not what the shach says. Shach says it becomes chanan. He doesn't say it's a minhag. Okay, so lefishin blue and basar b'chalav afila b'di evedo seris m'chazur v'tachua bein b'basar bein b'chalav calls man shehi basioma. And even b'di eved, whether you stick it into meat or stick it into milk, it will be aser as long as it is ben yomo. Okay, so that is the first scenario. Again, this is actually relatively straightforward. The Taz asks here, why isn't it hagala when you stick it into the milk? We already dealt with this a little as she did the Bala Itter. And his reason is maybe because it wasn't hot enough to be Hagala, because maybe it wasn't boiling milk. And then he says also because you can't be Magil with milk, which is an usher thing that'll lead to people being confused. Okay, so in the end of the Taz, we assume even if you suck into boiling milk, we don't assume that's a Hagala and that makes the spoon kosher, because doing a Hagala by putting meat into milk, or milk into meat, or whichever the case was, is just going to lead to confusion. So the Tavshel's Mocha, the spoon, is Usser. And now, how Usser is this spoon? If you stick it into anything for the next 24 hours, then it will make that treif, because it'll be Ben Yomo for another 24 hours. There's a discussion here in the Shach, in Sifkat and Yud, a very intricate discussion rather, in Shach, Sifkat and Yud, which all the Achronim go to town on. Maybe we'll just make brief reference to it. What was the case here? I keep forgetting. It was a milking spoon in a flesh pot. Right. So, 1 second. Let's just get the case here. Here we got a milchig spoon, right? Milchig spoon, yes. So here is this calf. At 1 o'clock p.m., you use it to stir milk. That's why it's a vanilla milking spoon. At 8 o'clock p.m., you use it to stir meat. And the ratio is 1 to 100. Right, yep, she should. Even 1 to 60. So what's the din? The din is that the basar is mutter, the kedera is muteras, but the calf is asura. Because now the calf has milk and the calf has meat. Now what do we say? That if you, for the next 24 hours, what happens if you now you stir milk with the calf? If you stir milk with the calf, what happens? So until 8 o'clock p.m. tomorrow, it's oser, right? Because it's full of glias of meat, which are fresh for 24 hours. After 8 o'clock p.m. tomorrow, it's not oser. Why? Because any time in this calf is tam lefgam. What about if you stir meat with this calf? Here it gets a little tricky. Until 1 p.m. tomorrow, it's clearly oser. After 8 o'clock p.m. tomorrow, it's definitely not oser. What about
between 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. tomorrow if you stir meat. It's been more than 24 hours since you stirred milk, so the milk taste is gone, but it is within 24 hours of stirring the meat. It's within 24 hours of stirring the meat. So if it's within 24 hours of stirring the meat, then maybe it's still considered Tamil Shvach. So this is a machlokas between the Shach and a lot of Achronim, right? He says, the Bach says that it is not Oser. And the Shach says that it is. Okay, here's the machlokas. Says the Bach, it's not Oser. Says the Shach, it is Oser. Okay, the Achronim go to town here. The Shach says the Bach is ridiculous, doesn't know what he's talking about, but Rabbi Akiva Eiger talks about Vavva, and the Primi Gadim, I think at the greatest length, talks about what's the story of the Bach and what's the real Yesod Ha Machlokas here. And the Machlokas, what's the story of the Shach? The story of the Shach is, what do you mean? At 8 o'clock it becomes Hanan. It now has Hanan in it, and it's been Yomer for 24 hours. What exactly is the svara of the Bach? Is Yesh L'ayim B'zeh Harbe? And you know what? We won't go into the svaras now. Maybe we'll just leave this machlokas unsvarad for now. We already had a lot of svaras today, and maybe we'll understand the svaras a little better when we get a little further in Yoredeya. So let's say now we have an interesting machlokas. Here it's within 24 hours of the meat, but it's after 24 hours from the milk. So the Bach says after 24 hours from the milk. So the time of milk is lifgam. It's not going to hurt if you stir meat. And the Shach says, no, it's within 24 hours of the meat. And therefore, what's the svar of the Shach? Because it became Hanan at 8 p.m. So now for the next 24 hours, it has a time l'shvach of Hanan. Okay. We will leave that for now, and maybe later we'll come back, not maybe, later or later we'll come back and mention what might be the sod of the machlokas here. And we will go a little later to the second half of the sif. Yeah.
Your verse also called for like shari skirt, but it's not a shot, but it doesn't seem like it's side of the bot. It doesn't seem like it's shari skirt because the Hanan is not creating a new history today. It's just that it's, you know, we're going back to the original, it's moving from his buffet all in the same spoon.
Okay, that you're asking the, that's the Shach's question on the Bach, right? So you have to defend the Bach. How are you going to defend the Bach? So the truth is that there's two ways to, there's two ways to defend the Bach. One second. Yeah, there's two ways to defend the Bach. One way is that over here there's no Hanan, and as a matter of fact, there's a Kasha the Shach that the Achronim deal with because of the Trumas Hadesh we mentioned. After all, while the spoon was in there, it was the kosher. Once you take it out, you have the Tzveik Elohakel, so there's no Hanan, so maybe that's the Svar of the Bach. The other Svar of the Bach is even when there is Hanan, Hanan only lasts as long as both the milk and meat are still the Shvach. Once one of them is Lashgam, the Hanan wears off, that's a Svar Amuka, which I want to say we'll come back to when we have more background. Okay, but, I mean, you can analyze this a lot back and forth, but I think I want to go on now. So let's read the second half. The Imain Shishim. I can't do this anymore. What if Ain Shishim? So start with the whole thing. Same. But the ratio is 1 to 59 in Shishim. Then what happens? At this point, the Kaf and the Tamshil and the Kedera all become Asar, all become Basra Chalav. Now you manage to have a taste of Basra Chalav, 1 to 59. You have a taste of Basra Chalav. Everything becomes Chazar Treif. Now is everything Asar. I call Asar Behanah.
I feel like they read all Asr Behanah. Because it's Asr Chalaf. Ach, even the Kedera is Asr Behanah. Ach, Mocha Lassa Toka Peros, Otsomne, Gaiman Chain Unanimi Gofa Isr. The Kedera is Asr Behanah. What does it mean the Kedera is Asr Behanah? He says, you can still put fruits into this pot, or even put any cold things into this pot. Because you're not nanani gufa iser. Okay, what does he mean by this? First of all, this is a machlokas. Who holds that you can't put, well, okay, we're not sure yet. Okay, so again, why are you, what does the machaber mean? But let's just say it more simply. What does the Mechaber mean when he says, but you're still allowed to keep apples and cherries and what have you in this pot because you're not naming Gufa Isser? What does he mean by that? What's the Gufa Isser? The Gufa Isser is the bli in the pot. It's not the pot itself that's Asr Behanah, because you are Nef, if so, then you're Nef the Gufa Isser. It's not the pot that's Asr Behanah. A pot can't be Asr Behanah. It's the blias in the pot that are Asr Behanah. And therefore, if you would cook in the pot, you'd be nanner from the blias in the pot. Why? Because they give your taste to the, their taste to the food, and you eat it. And that's a problem. But if you just use the pot to hold, you know, marbles, or even blueberries, then you're not nanner from the blias in the pot. You're only nanner from the pot. And the pot's not Asr Behanah. It's only the blias inside there Asr Behanah. That's what comes out of the Mechaber. What did the Mechaber say? The Mechaber says, no. When it comes to the Kedera and the Kaf, it's the Leos inside are Asur and Behanah, not the pot itself. And that's why you're allowed to put cold things in the pot or do whatever you want with the pot, as long as you don't get the Leos into your food. Okay, that seems fairly straightforward and reasonable.
That's just the Svara?
What?
That's just the Svara? That's just how to explain
that's the Sephara? Svara is that the blias inside are bas b'chalav, are a cheftar bas b'chalav. A pot can't be a cheftar bas b'chalav because it's not a food. It's just a pot.
I thought we rejected the Manda Amar that Kalim can't become a Chanan.
So it's actually interesting. In the end, we'll see that in the end we pass and the Kli itself can't be Chanan. It's only the blias inside that can become Chanan. Right, in the end, we'll see. There's two different questions. Can the Kli itself become Hanan, or can the Blias inside the Kli become Hanan? And we, in the end, will say the Kli itself can't become Hanan. Only the Blias inside can become Hanan, which is consistent with this. And even if we want to say the pot itself will become Hanan, if you're going to say that just the Xer Darabonin to avoid confusion, then it would still be consistent. Because, you know, you want to avoid confusion when it comes to Hanan Mishra 60 over here. You don't need to avoid confusion. It's pretty clear that you're not allowed to be nanner from a food, and you're allowed to be nanner from a kli. Okay, but the mice that we pass, the kli itself can't become chanan. The metal can't be chanan. Only the blias inside can be chanan. Meaning, like we talked before, if there's, remember we had over here 59/60th blias basar, 1/60th blias halav, then the Mechaber says that can become all chanan. But the blias becoming chanan, not the wood becoming chanan. Okay, now, here we have a bit of machlokas. Because of this orzarua, says the Urzarua, quoted in the Shaf and the Taz. Says the Taz, quoting to Roskatas, you can even cook shampoo in this pot, even though it's hot. Therefore, what are you allowed to do? Therefore, you can put peros or tzonin in the pot. And you can even cook shampoo in the pot. Why can you cook shampoo in the pot? Because when you cook shampoo, you're not nanner from the blios. Remember, that's what we saw in Baaloi back inside in Zion. You're not really nanner from the blios in the shampoo. You're not nanner from the blios. When you eat, you're eating the blios. When you make the shampoo, you're not nanner from the blios. You're nanner from the pot. The blios from the mala blom over it. Okay, so however, here we have an Urzarua. Says the Urzarua, what if you cook in this pot? So what if you cook in this pot? Let's just imagine what happens if you now cook in this pot. Are you allowed to cook in the pot? No. One thing I want you to remember, I don't want you to come out of here reform rabbis. Okay, maybe you'll pass your day, maybe you'll fail your day, but I don't want you to come out of here reform rabbis. as much as we say, Eino ben Yomo is mutter, that's all b'dievet after you cooked. You can't take an Eino ben Yomo treif pot and use it. You're never allowed to use a treif pot. You're never allowed to use a milchik pot for meat. You're never allowed to use a fleishik pot for milk, etc. Ben Eino ben Yomo is only a heter b'dievet. So, obviously, whether it's within or after 24 hours, you can't cook in this pot. What's the din of the kedera now? So, you can't cook food in the kedera. Ever. Right? But what if you did cook food? In bishalba. So if it's toch me'eis le'eis, then the food that you cooked is usher, right? Because it'll give its taste to the food, and generally no food is 60 times the size of the pot it was cooked in, so it'll make it usher. What if it's achar me'eis le'eis? Then the food is mutter, because even though it gives its taste to the food, that's a tam lefgam, says Eino ben Yomo, and the food is mutter, says the Or Zeruah, a big fish. But, says the Or Zeruah, he says, but, you have to be mashlech d'mei hakadera l'nahar. You have to take the amount that it was worth using the pot. After all, let's say I cook my soup in a pot. Right? How much is it worth to rent a pot to cook my soup? To cook my soup? That's a funny question, because I don't think there's a big market for renting out pots to cook soup in. But let's say we got some good economist who could estimate, you know what, this kind of pot to cook a soup is worth 50 agarot. A theoretical person would pay 50 agarot to cook a soup in this pot. So what does the Or Zeruah say? You have to take 50 agarot and throw it in the sea, throw it in the river, in order to not be nene from this pot. To undo that enough from this pot. He says the Or Zeruah, the food's kosher, but you can't eat that. So you have to throw 50 agarot in the toilet. And probably don't flush it down the toilet, it's bad for pipes. But you have to flush 50 agarot down someone else's toilet who you don't like, in order to erase the hana'a you got, to even out, to undo the hana'a you got. And then you can eat your food. Like, you can't eat your food till you undo the hana'a you got in the 50 agro rental of a pot. This pot was also hana'a. Now, what does this Or Zeruah seem to be saying? What does this Or Zeruah seem to be arguing with? Right, he seems to be saying the pot itself is also hana'a, not just the plios, right? You wouldn't rent the plios. You're renting the pot, not the plios. I'm not paying any rent to rent plios. So you're renting a pot. Hold on, he seems to be disagreeing with the Mechaber then. Then he should say you're not allowed to put Peiros or Tzomei. Right? That's the Or Zeruah. And he quotes that the Ma'arai quotes the Or Zeruah and the Ramah disagrees. Okay. So, and then the Marshal goes back and agrees with the Or Zeruah. So a lot of people agree with the Or Zeruah. So what do you do with this Or Zeruah? Stira. So how do you deal with this stira? So one way of dealing with this stira is the Toras Chatas and the Shach. It's a machlokas. After all, who says you could put Peiros or Tzonim in there? I actually don't remember who said that, but maybe the Be'er Gol will help me out here. Someone will help me out. Who actually said that? They could put Peiros or Tzonim in there. Shum v'shum from the beginning of this siman, maybe. The smock? Was that a smock? Quote in the Torah? Who actually said this? What? What? Avomoto losazo peiros otzoni. Came to your name, you go for Isser. This is a Torah, right? This is a Torah that says the Torah. And The Shari Dura says it. But who's he quoting the whole time? I think he's quoting a smock, no? Yeah, I think this is all a quote of the smock. I think he says this someplace. This is all a quote of the smock. Hakol b'smach simen reishit gimel. Okay, the smock, the shari dura, etc. So that's machlokas rishonim, right? The smock, shari dura, not that go shari dura, shari dura, and the mechaber holds the pot itself is not osur b'hanah. But the orza rua holds that the pot itself is osur b'hanah. And we don't paskal like the orza rua. Therefore, the upshot is, so we don't paskin like the orza rua. Okay, that's the Shach and the Torah's Chattas that he quotes. Conclude. However, the Marshal says something different, which all the Echronim say they don't really understand what he's talking about. Says the Marshal, no, that's different. The pot itself's not Osur B'Hana'ah if you just put cold things in it, or even if you cook shampoo in it. But if you actually cook food in the pot, then that's an Isra no of the pot. Okay? I don't know. I looked at that chronom here. No one really understands about it. Shulchan quotes a chronom, don't understand as far as of the Marshal. Okay. Marshal seems to say something along the lines of that a pot is osur b'hana'ah if you cook food in it. But I don't understand exactly what that means. Okay, Marshal's trying to say something. He hasn't made clear to us what he means. There's one very clever shot in the Orzer world that you could find in the Prima Gadim here. If you look in the Prima Gadim, he quotes from in Sifkat and Yudal from Sisei Das from the Minchas Yaakov. Who's the Minchas Yaakov? Minchas Yaakov is a Peirush on the, maybe the most famous Peirush, far from the only, the most famous Peirush on Torah Chattas, written by Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, who wrote many other famous farim, including the Chok Yaakov on Hilchos Pesach, for example. He says, he says very clever shot in the Orzer Ruah. He says the Minchas Yaakov, he says, the Orzer Ruah is because you were nene from the Plios. You were nene from the Kedera. You were nene from the Plios. That's why he says you have to throw money into the river. Not the amount you caught Peter rent the pot. The amount you were nene from the Plios. All the kasha is it's after 24 hours. It's a tal of God. How are you nene from the Plios? So he says, remember a case with the oil and hamafket? You were nene from the Plios because if there were no Plios in the pot, some of your tafshil would have seeped into the pot and you would have lost volume. Because the pot was saturated, savam yilavloa, therefore you ended up with more soup. Again, imagine an old-fashioned klicheres, which is very porous. If there were no plios in the klicheres, 1 ounce of your soup would have been nivla in the klicheres, you would have 1 ounce less of soup. Now that the klicheres is saturated, you have 1 ounce more of soup. You were an enif from the plios. You have one more extra ounce of soup. How much is an ounce of soup worth? Not 50 agarot. Maybe it's worth 40 agarot. So that's what you throw in the nahar. Very clever from plios, because it was, what was the phrase? Savala. Okay, because the saturation kept your soup from being absorbed in the pot. So your men are from the wheels. Okay, in our modern day pots, we don't understand what that means. Like, you don't actually see volume lost in pleos into the pots, but old fashioned, super duper pots. Mamas, you would start out cooking 100 ounces in a new pot, and since all the pores of the pot were empty, you'd end up with 99 ounces. Here, you'd end up from the pleos, you still have 100 ounces. Very clever answer. Okay, halacha lemaisa, just we paskin like the Taurus Chantas, meaning don't paskin like the Arzarua. What about the Minchas Yaakov's clever pshat? It's clever, but okay, nowadays we don't have those kind of kingdom anyway, so we don't have to worry about it. Even though it's a pretty clever pshat, and from the Leos, because Sava Lami Vavloa. All right, you have to ask it some Avriachari kind of hana. All right, I'm not going into that. How does it help to throw the money to the river? Is that's a big sugya in and of itself, which we will get to a little later. How come sometimes in Shas we find a concept that if you're nana from Isser, you can throw money into the river and somehow be reverse the hana? Well, in other cases, we clearly say, what do you mean? You can't just like throw money in the river and and be nana from Isser. That's like, you know, ridiculous. I don't understand. I have basar b'chalav. I want to feed it to my dog. So, okay, I'll feed it to my dog, and I'll estimate it's worth $2, and I'll throw $2 into the river. No, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. The simple answer seems to be that it depends what kind of hana you got. If the hana you got from the Isser was an actual physical consumption of the Isser, or physical use, if you're going to physically using the Isser, then throwing money to the river doesn't help. But if you're using Heter, just that Heter benefited from some Isser along the way, then, according to some shittas, like over here, I'm eating total heter thing, which got a tamlif gam, a basar b'chalav, a totally heter vegetable soup, which doesn't taste like basar b'chalav at all because it got a tamlif gam. Just, it on the way got some indirect hana from either the pot, according to one pshat in Yerzerua, or the saturation of the pleos, according to the other pshat in Yerzerua, which is a nice pshat in Yerzerua, I have to say. That sort of indirect hana. It's not a direct hana, it's an indirect hana. I'm now eating vegetable soup, but it was cooked in a free use of a pot that was also hana. You know, or it was avoided loss because of the saturation of bleos that are also hana. And that kind of indirect isuri hana, it could be that since hana is only indirect, what is hana? I'm not right now being nana from the pot. I'm eating the vegetable soup out of a bowl with a spoon. I'm not being nana from the pot at all, right? The pot is in France. And I, right now, I'm eating this vegetable soup in Spain. How am I being nana from the pot? Because I'm benefiting now, because if there wasn't be a pot, I would have lost more money and I gave more money. So it's only an abstract benefit. That abstract benefit, if I throw money in the toilet, that outweighs it and eliminates an abstract benefit. As opposed to a concrete benefit, if I mamish take basar b'chalav and I use it, there's no heter by throwing money into the toilet. Even that's controversial. That's machlokes rishonim. But okay, many rishonim say that works. If your hana is only indirect and abstract, then you can make up for it by throwing money into the toilet.
I can learn about the oil, something about the Slovak. Wasn't that like the one wall and one of the understandings? Really, the shop would get that little bit of understanding that we say that even if it's Slovak, it's still going to.
No, the Bach said we proved from this that once it's Avea, it doesn't absorb at all.
Right.
First of all those people were only about cold, not about hot. And the Shach says, no, it will absorb. It'll just give it out as much as it absorbs, so it'll be the same amount. But everyone agrees it keeps the amount the same. Everyone agrees it keeps the amount the same. Yes, Yomi. Reb, it's a little funny because he even says cooking shampoo is mutter. Cooking shampoo is a normal use of a pot. Okay. Now, one little nice thing that comes up here is a total side point at the end of Shas Sukkot, Taz Sukkot and Dalet. Look at the last two lines of Taz Sukkot and Dalet. What do you do with Isurei Hana? Basar b'chalav. Now, on the one hand, what do you do with the Isurei Hana of Orla and Klai Karen? Anyone? Basic Torah knowledge? Burn them. What do you do but basar b'chalav, right? Where would you find a list of which things you burn and which things you don't? The last mission in Torah, right? There's Nisrafin, basar b'chalav, and Minayat Barim. So what does Nikvara mean? It doesn't necessarily davka mean kavura, like say for Torah or a person. It means you don't burn it. So what do you do with this? You davka have to throw it into the toilet. Okay? In those days, it's an outhouse, you weren't stuffing up the pipes. Avalo lifnei kelev. But you can't feed it to a dog. Obviously, I can't feed it to my dog. That's classic. I'm not feeding my dogs. Afilena kelev shalo. Chiddush of the Tazmar Shalish of Ahanta Arach and Taras Chatas, a lot of big poskim. You're not allowed to feed Yisurah Hanah to a stray dog. I might have thought it's a good way of getting rid of it. Now no one will eat it. You can't feed it to a stray dog. That is controversial. If you look at the Pesvei Tshuva, he points out that not everyone agrees. The Makor Chaim and the Gra disagree. Who's the Makor Chaim? No, morning Seder, anyone? Makor Chaim is the Nesivas on Hilchos Pesach. So, or now this year, we say the Chavos Das. Chavos Das on Hilchos Pesach is the Nesivas. Chavos Das on Hilchos Pesach is the Makor Chaim. The Nesivas and the Gra, big name, Achronim, they disagree. Why do they disagree? It's an interesting machlokes about Yerushalmi in Pesachim. The Bab is not a Bab. Says the Yerushalmi Pesachim. Aser lehachil chametz, obviously meaning on Pesach, but kelev hefker. You can't feed chametz to a stray dog. Why can't you feed chametz to a stray dog? Why can't you feed chametz to a stray dog? So, after all, you're not nana. My dog, I'm nana. How am I nana if a stray dog eats? So what are the Isra'hetar, Torskatas, Marshal, and Taz assuming, Isaac? Why can't you feed chametz to a stray dog? Because that is called? That's called Hana. So one answer is Isra Beheter, Taras Chatas, Marshal, and Taz, because it's considered Hana. How is it Hana to feed a stray dog? I don't gain from a stray dog having food. So what's the answer? Anyone ever see an old lady in the park? What's she doing? She's feeding the birds. Is she Nana? Sure looks like it, doesn't it? Right? Look at her face. She's Nana. What's the point? The point is that it's Hana to feed a stray dog. Why? I don't get any tangible benefit from a stray dog having a food. It's not like my own dog. My own dog eats. I get a healthy dog who, you know, that's it. My property is enhanced. My property is worth more money. What kind of Hana? I get psychological Hana. If I feed a stray dog, I feel good about feeding a stray dog. Basically, the principle is, whenever you do something that you want to do, that's Hana. You don't need a logical reason, it's Hana. I mean, it's an interesting question, you know, the old lady in the park feeding the birds. Why is she Nana from feeding the birds? Logically, right, a logical person would come and say, logically, you get no Hana from feeding the birds. She'd say, that's very nice. Maybe I'm logical, maybe I'm not logical, but I enjoy feeding the birds. Right? If you do something that you want to do, that's called Hana. That seems to be the assumption. When I want to do something, I do it. It's called Hana. Maybe it's pointless. Maybe it's illogical. Maybe it's stupid. It doesn't matter. I'm doing what I want to do. That's Hana. The guy wants to feed a stray dog. He's Hana, feeding a stray dog. Obviously, you might have to throw the line someplace. You know, if he stomps, throws it out, and the dog comes and eats it, that's not Hana. You know, it could be if he feeds it to a stray dog, you know, because the dog is chasing him and it falls out of his pocket. That's not Hana. But, you know, if he decides, I want to feed this dog and feeds the dog, he gets no tangible benefit, but he gets a psychological benefit of doing something he wanted to do. And that's called Hana. The Makor Chaim and the Gra disagree. If you would look at Hilchos Pesach, I didn't bring my Hilchos Pesach, now they disagree. They say no. They say you missed the Rishalmi. Rishalmi is a special drasha. What did the Torah say about Chametz? Below? That's a bad, very bad question. The lo ye'achel chametz. Lo ye'achel chametz, it shouldn't be eaten, even by animals. Now, that doesn't mean we have to go to all the animals and confiscate their chametz. It means you shouldn't cause it to be eaten even by animals. So they say, no, it's a special zeres hakasuv by chametz of lo ye'achel. It shouldn't be eaten. Even by animals. That's a big chiddush. There's a lot of things in the Torah, lo yechel, and we don't say these animals, but my chametz, even my animals, lo yechel, that's the chiddush of Yerushalmi. Nafkamina is, obviously. Nafkamina is basar b'chalav, etc., right? And up, right? Basar b'chalav udi ime, right? They would say it's asar, and the Makor Chayim Libra would say it's mutter. They would say, no, it's a special form of Pesach, lo yechel chametz. Chametz is so bad, not only can't you eat it, you can't even own it, and you can't even cause it to be eaten, even by animals. Right? Min hastam, they would also say you can't cause it to be eaten by goyim. Min hastam. You know? What about, you know, giving a chametz sandwich to a homeless guy? I assume that would also be also according to Yerushalmi. Meaning, that would be also kuli alma, because according to Yerushalmi, would be also because you're causing it to be eaten. If it's also eaten by a dog, it's clearly kosher, it can also be eaten by a person. Even though that person's not mitzvah, dog's also not mitzvah, and dog's not even a person, right? And obviously, according to the Taz, it would also be also, Taz would be also even Basar B'chalav. Why? Because you wanted to feed the homeless guy. Oh, you get no benefit from feeding the homeless guy. It doesn't matter if you want to do it. Okay, that's the nafkamina. How about regular Surya Hana'a? The Taz would say, doing something you want to do and feeding something or someone you want to feed is Hana'a, and therefore it's an Isra Hana'a Mamish. The Gron, the Sea would say, no, it's a special because there's a cause of chametz is so chomer. You have to mamish not want it to exist. Just like you have to not want it to exist, you have to not want anyone to eat it. Okay, but by Basar B'chalav, that's not considered hanah. So it's a fascinating machlokas. Yes, because I assume they're saying only if I want to feed the cat, it's hanah. How can it be hanah? How can it be hanah for me to feed a cat against my will? You know, it's only hanah if I want to feed the cat. I think that's clear. They don't say it. They don't say it. They say throw it in the basic kisei. They don't say what about leaving it in the garbage where cats might come. But I think it's an obvious svara that the isser is only if I want to feed the cat. If I don't want to feed the cat, I'd rather. I don't want to. I wish that all the cats who lived in my town would starve to death because I hate them, because they bother us. So it's hard to imagine that would be called hanah. It's not like, you know, the one person in town who actually goes and actively feeds all the cats and annoys all the neighbors. Thank you. But that's a separate politics. Any other questions? We'll go to Sif Dalet. Sif Dalet. This is a really, really, really... Sif Hay is the really funny case. Sif Dalet is pretty passion. Imena Kafinyolo. Remember, the drama said in Sif Aleph, that Sif Aleph through Dalet, Sif Aleph through Gimel is only the Kaf of Ben Yomo. Okay. I mean, he was just preparing us for what comes later. Until now, when the Kaf is Ben Yomo, how about Dalet the Kaf is not Ben Yomo? Then, that should be pretty poshut. Meaning, Sadi Dalet is really the same as the end of Sadi Gimel Aleph. Like, if the Kaf's not Ben Yomo, it's the same as if the Kedera wasn't Ben Yomo. Right? Let's say you take an Ein Ben Yomo. Of course, this is the normal case that happens in most kitchens. Right? Just because nowadays, we are rich in metaltalman compared to the old days, right? The Industrial Revolution, etc. So it's usually not the case that someone messes up and stirs with a Ben Yomo spoon, just because everyone has so many kelim in their kitchen that what are the odds they're going to use each of them every 24 hours, right? So usually someone will take an Ben Yomo milk spoon and stir the chicken soup with it. So then the Kedir and the Tavshel obviously mutter. The chicken soup is mutter because they got a tam of God from the spoon. And the chicken soup is much of the pot's mutter, because the pot touches the chicken soup. And the spoon is also chachila bein basar b'chalav. The spoon is also whether with meat or with milk, because now the spoon, remember, this is the lunch spoon. It's not basar b'chalav, but it's meat and milk. Right? Because it was used for milk 25 hours. It's going for meat now, so it's both places you get milk, in which case you can't use it with meat or milk. But you could use it for parif. And the Shach says earlier, I don't know if he repeats it again here, he doesn't, but that the minig is not to use it even for parif. When we call welcome, but the evet, you know, Sarah's came to Bas Yoma. But the evet, it wasn't Aser, since it wasn't Bas Yoma. And then the Shach and Taz point out, just don't make a really, really stupid mistake. What's the case here? The Kaf, on Monday, 9 a.m., it stirs milk. On Wednesday, 9 a.m., it stirs chicken soup. So what's he saying? Look, this spoon has bleeds of meat and bleeds of milk. It never became basar b'chalav. So if you stir with it now, there will not be any problem.
idea of it.
Of course. What does that mean? If now, on Wednesday, at 10 a.m., the Shaftan House says the obvious thing.
If you stir milk, of course the lost of the milk. It's fresh taste of chicken soup. He just meant if you stir meat or parif won't be a problem.
Right? So, if you stir parif or meat, it wouldn't answer it because
it doesn't have a fresh taste of milk. Obviously, if you stir milk, it would answer it, because forget this first case. You stir milk an hour after chicken soup. Okay, that goes without saying, but they said it anyway. Sifhei. Sifhei is a really weird smock. So this shach here is so long. You know, if you didn't get to the shach now, then I will suggest, you know, you might even just want to rely on my summary, because it is very long and very strange case, and he goes just into a lot of details, exactly what the smock meant with Dakis Dik Diukim. In Bishlumayim, a weird case, Dekidera Chadosha, a new pot, you cooked water, the Tachlu Akaf Cholevis, and you stuck it and stirred it with a milking spoon. Has anything terrible happened? No. V'achar Chazer Bishlumayim Pamacheris, the Tachlu Akaf Cholevis, and then you cooked water again. Again, it didn't have to be water, it could be anything part. And you stuck in, you stir with a fleshik spoon. And both spoons were in a yoman. They gave a real time of milk and a real time of meat. And in both cases, there was not 60 times as much water a spoon. Meaning both spoons really gave the taste. To really give a taste, you need two conditions. You need a yoman and more than a 60th. Now, you can't use this pot at all for meat or milk. But you could cook parv in it. Since it was new, again, that's a funny phrase, since it was new and never used beforehand. Okay. Here's this very strange case of the smock.
But there are cases like this. It doesn't, you know, obviously, it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't have to be spoons, pots, etc. You know, you just have to have these schematics right. You know, there's some plea that was used for a parav, and then some plea was put into it, etc. These cases actually can happen sometimes. What happens? You have a new pot.
You have a new pot. And
first what happens is it gets... Sorry. 1 o'clock, you cook water, and it gets tom from milking spoon, milking calf. 2 o'clock, you cook water, which gets tom from a fleshik calf. Now what happens is that the pot is asar im basar v'im chalav. Asar to use with meat, and it's asar to cook milk.
And what if you did cook meat or milk in it? Let's read one more line of Ramah. Mi'un avar v'ishol v'basar v'chalav. However, what if you do cook meat and milk in this pot? Mutter, everything's fine. Davin yosin tam, burn yosin tam. It's the principle of not burn not.
But if you do cook meat or milk in it, it's mutter. Why? Because the pot is not barnat.
Okay, not barnat is really next simon. But let's review the din of not barnat. This is called dogim she'alu b'ka'ara shel basar. Fish that were put, obviously hot, in a fleshik tray. Or for that matter, perhaps fish cooked in a fleshik pot, or, you know, what have you. Pasta cooked in a fleshik pot, etc. That's called a nosing tam bar nosing tam. It's a double nosing tam, right? We mentioned this in the context of the rashba of weakening tastes, and we mentioned this in a few different contexts,
right? Let's just try to figure out what's going on. What really happened? Not barnat. What do you mean not barnat? Milk to kaf to water to pot. Right? That's what happened. Right? This is a milchi kaf. That means it was used with milk. Ben yomo. Right? It means it got ta'am. Ta'am. What does ta'am mean? Ta'am equals kaf ben yomo and ein shishin neged hakaf, right? Because if the kaf is listed as 60th, it wouldn't give ta'am. It would be bottle. And if the kaf is in ben yomo, it would give ta'am of God. Got a real, real ta'am. Okay, but hold on a second. The milk is halav. The kaf is a not. A milchi kli is a nosing ta'am. It's a ta'am halav. It's not milk. It's a ta'am of milk. The water is not barnat. If the water is not barnat, then the water is parf. And certainly the pot is parf. Right? So the pot is parf. In which case, the pot is parf. Now you're putting the fleshnikaf. I mean, as you see, no matter how many times you do this, it's not going to change anything, right? What happens to the fleshnikaf? The exact same thing. The fleshnikaf got a ta'am of meat. And then you stuck it into the water. And then into the pot. Okay? Here you have basar. Here you have not. Here you have not bar not, right? Not the son of a not, etc. And what's the result? The pot is parif. If so, then it makes a lot of sense that if I do cook in this pot, it's no problem because the pot is parif. What doesn't make sense is why lechachila do we asr this pot for both meat and milk? It's a not bar not. Remember the rule of not bar not. If I, certainly if I'm Sephardi, and the Mechaber here is Sephardi, if I cook pasta in a fleshik pot, I can eat that pasta with cheese. If I cook pasta in a milchik pot, I can eat that pasta with meatballs. Okay, so this water, I could use it anything. This water, I could use it anything. The pot, I could use it anything. It's all kosher parif. This is the strangest smak ever. Mehevi taste of the smak created this weird isser. It's so strange that the Berheitev, if you look in the Berheitev, Sifkatan something, Sifkatan, Yudbeis, he has parentheses, right? Parentheses always means he's saying something on the Shach and the Taz. Means he was so stymied by this, found it so difficult to justify this Machaber that he invented his own reason. And what does he say? He says, you know, it must be B'dochak that Mistama spoons are dirty. And therefore, the spoon was not a ta'am of meat. The spoon had meat on it, and the spoon had milk on it. Oh, that's a different story. In which case, at 1 o'clock, I actually cooked milk in the pot. And at 2 o'clock, I cooked meat in the pot. Now we understand this chumra better. Because it wasn't just a spoon. It was a spoon with meat sauce and a spoon with cheese sauce. But, what? So you have to say, well, we think there might have been, but we're not sure, so, you know. But give me a break. That's not what's going on here. That's very, very dumb. That's what we have to figure out. The $64,000 question is why? Says the Berheitev, I know I'm going out of chronological order, because maybe spoons were dirty. And he says, and that's why he ended the spoon with ben yomo. What does it mean the spoon is ben yomo? Well, the spoon is ben yomo, maybe it's still had dirt in it. After 24 hours, it wouldn't have had dirt on it. It's a little random. Okay. We can do better than that. We're going to have to do better than that. What's the other pshat? There are three other pshatim in the Shach and the Taz here. But let's just, let's deal with the Taz. Says the Taz, here I'm going to cheat a little. It's based on the minhag in the next Ramah. The next Ramah on the Sif, right? There's a new Ramah on the Sif. Kedera, Shemishla, etc., etc. The next Ramah has a minhag. The minhag is that. Now, here it gets a little tricky to apply this minhag, but he says there's some minhag that if I stick a ben yomo fleshik spoon in the ein ben yomo milchik pot, then I treat the food as really meat. And since I treat the food as meat, I have a minhag to treat the pot as treif because the food was treated as meat. And therefore, it's really not going to work so well. The Taz is not even here. The Taz is later in the Sif.
in Sifkatan Tess, where he said at the end of Sifkatan Tess, you should know that this second Ramah is the base of that first Ramah, which is also a little strange because that second Ramah is not based on a snot. But he says it's the minhag in the next Ramah, which says that basically what happens at 1 o'clock, the pot looks chalavi. Because I stuck a chalavi spoon into it, and now I'm treating this food as chalavi. Okay, I don't know why the food is chalavi. The water is not barnav. It's a minhag. Because minhag to treat the water as chalavi. Even though the water is pariv, there's a minhag to treat the water as chalavi. Once the minhag to treat the water is milchik, the pot looks milchik, so the pot looks milchik. And at 2 o'clock, for the same reason, the pot looks isarin, and therefore the pot is aser. Okay, based on this minhag later, it's a little tricky because it doesn't actually seem to meet the contours of the condition of the minhag later. There's a minhag that when I stick in a milchik pot, a milchik spoon, I treat the water as milchik to avoid confusion. And when I treat the water as milchik, then I have to treat the pot as milchik to avoid confusion. So to avoid confusion, we treat the pot as milchik at 1 o'clock, treat it as fleishik at 2 o'clock, now it's milchik and fleishik. Okay, it's a minhag because it looks bad. In fact, it does look bad. I think if you went to a Jew, an Orthodox Jew, who didn't know any halacha whatsoever, and you told them at 1 o'clock you stuck a milchik spoon into this water, they'd say, oh, it's a milchik pot now. If you told them at 2 o'clock you stuck a fleishik spoon into the water, they'd say, oh, it's a fleishik pot now. Ah, now it's milchik and fleishik. Now it's a problem. I think a lot of Amoratsim would think that. So says the Taz, there's a minhag to pander to the Amoratsim and to be machmir because it looks bad. Okay, that's me saying minhag to be machmir that looks bad. Meheichi tesi a minhag to be machmir that looks bad from the next Ramah. The next Ramah is quoting a Isra Heter Ha'aruch who lived 200 years after the Smach. Okay, but the Smach really fought that and just the Isra Heter, you know, wrote it in different words. That's, we don't pass like this. We don't pass like the Berhete. We don't assume spoons are dirty for no reason. We don't pass like the Taz. Then comes the Taz Dafa Achra, who's really the same as the Darki Moshe. The Darki Moshe, there was the Taz Dafa Achra. After the Taz read the Shach, he went back and wrote some more Ha'aros, mostly responding to the Shach, that's what Dafa Achron. It's like, I guess he published it at the end of his book, right? There are computers that you can like put it back in the place. So he just added it to the end of the Sefer. So that's the Dafa Achron. In my Shulchan Aruch to the back. The Taz Dafa Achron based on Ramah says, it's going to be a little tricky because it's against the, it can't be a Hezbollah and the Machaber. I don't want to go too late. I'll go 2 minutes. Can I do this in 2 minutes? Yes. Okay. He says it's based, again, this doesn't work for the Machaber. Because it's only based on the Ramah against the Machaber. But it's based on the Ramah in Simon Sadikei, who is machmer lechatchila on things cooked in a fleishik pot. Shemachmer lechatchila benat barnat al yedei bishol. What does that mean? I apologize for going a few minutes. I want to be able to finish this and move on to the next thing next time. What about this case? Milk to pot to water to pasta, right? Very common case for us. That's called not barnat through bishel, right? You cook the pasta and there's water in between, like old bishel. Says the Ramah, says the Mechaber, this is Pariv. Says the Ramah, no. Lechatchila, it's milchik. Okay, because after all, the Gemara only says if they were put on a tray, not if they were cooked in a pot. Okay, Machbar l'chatzchila. And therefore, again, this doesn't help for the Mechaber. The Mechaber, he says, was stupid. But the smack is l'shitase, like the Ramah, because he was Ashkenazic. Oh, she was stupid. The Mechaber just made a mistake, because he doesn't hold this way. But this is the smack l'shitase, he was Ashkenazic, like the Ramah, who's, even though the smack really doesn't hold it, okay, whatever. Somehow you get to work out that we're machbar l'chatzchila de bishel. And therefore, l'chatzchila don't use the pot. The Shach rejects this. This is a double chiddush. What's a double chiddush? A, that not being able to use a pot for almost anything is called l'chatzchila. I would have said, b'di'eved, what are you supposed to do? B'di'eved, you have to use your pot. They didn't have power pots in those days. Right? So you have to use a milk or fleishik. What do you mean? You're going to have to throw out your pot if you can't use it for meat or milk. No one had power pots in those days. It says, but that's l'chachilo, don't use the pot. That's a funny l'chachilo. I don't think l'chachilo means, like, I'm not going to lose anything. Here, I would call this b'di'eved. The other kiddush, the reason the Shach disagreed, is because this is different. Case is more mako than simen sadi hay. Why is this case more mako than simen sadi hay? Isaac, it seems almost the same. In what way is this a weaker transfer than that? It's the same three steps. Milk to kli to water. Water to food and water to pot are two very different things. The water in the pasta, mamash permeates the pasta very strongly. The water in the pot is a weaker transfer because the last step is a kli. Everyone knows kelim have weaker transfers than foods. So therefore, there are moments not being machbar l'chatzchila. And this is how the Shach paskins. This is how we paskin. We paskin like Shach. That it's not comparable. We paskin that, nope, this is not a problem of not barnat. This is not an ishul chachila. This is totally mutter. Because food to kli to food to kli is more mekel than the case in Simen Sadi Hei, which is food to kli to food to food. And therefore we're mekel. Okay, so says the Shach, now we have our last chance, and we pass him like the Shach. By the way, we don't pass him like this does either. We pass him like the Shach. The Shach says, the medai to the lush and the smach, which you can find in Shulchan Aruch, because it was new. It's a special minag lahachmir for new kelim. It's a unique chumrah for new kelim. If you buy a new pot, in the old days, what were the two options of what you would make it into? Either meat or milk. They didn't have power pots. You have to pick one. What's the unique chumrah? If the pot is close to becoming meat or milk, it becomes meat or milk. Because you have to make it something anyway. Meaning, if I have a pot, new pot and I stick a milchik spoon in it, it really does nothing to it because it's not barnat. But I have to pick something, so pick milchik. If I have a new pot, I stick a fleishik spoon into it, it has to become something. And it's not really fleishik, but it's close to being fleishik, so make it fleishik. That's the chumr of the Shach. If a new pot is close to being milchik, make it milchik. If a new pot is close to being fleishik, make it fleishik. 1 second. And then he says they all misunderstood the smach. And smach really meant that at 1 o'clock it becomes chalavi. And at 2 o'clock, it just becomes bisari. You never make, you can't use it for either. At 1 o'clock, you stuck a milchik spoon in it, so you might as well make it milchik. Now at 2 o'clock, you stuck a fleishik spoon in it. It now has more meat taste than milk taste because it's fresher. So you might as well make it fleishik. Meaning until you've decided what to make it, whatever it's closest to, that's what it becomes. They all misunderstood the smach. The smach, he never meant his usher and basar, usher and chalav. The Shach says only Asr Chalav. Why? And they misunderstood. What he meant is, at 1:30, if you were deciding what to do, you would have to make it milchik. Because it's closest to milchik. even though it's not. At 2 o'clock, now it's closer to deflation because the most recent taste is more potent. And therefore, at 2 o'clock, you have to make it flacic and not use it for milk. But he never meant it becomes almost treif and usher with meat and milk. They all misunderstood the smock, and that's why he goes through pages and pages of other almost in the smock. We passing like the shach, which is that the pot is just bisari, not like the Mechaber says, not like any of the other achronim say, all the later poskim passing like the shach. That, and this is only a chomer bialma, because since you have to pick something, you might as well pick what it's closest to being. Because, like, why not? That's how we paskin, that they all misunderstood the smock against what it says in the Mama, and the Mechaber, and the Taz, etc. We paskin like the Shach. What does that mean, halach l'maisa? Halach l'maisa means very little. That if you have a new pot or a par of pot, and you stick a milchik spoon into it, then you can't use it for meat. Because if you have to pick one, you should make it milchik. But it's a par of pot, you weren't going to use it for meat anyway. So it actually makes no difference. So the maisa to us, the only difference this smock would make is that if you have a par of pot and stick a milchik spoon into it, even though it's not milchik, it's close to milchik. And if you now decide you don't want it to be parv anymore, you have to make it milchik, not fleishik. But of course you can leave it as parv, right? You just can't make it fleishik. And if you want to stick a fleishik spoon into it, now you can't turn it into milchik. Okay, we don't usually do that anyway, but I guess that's a real halacha. You have a parv pot, because like, parv is like new, and you stir it with a fleishik spoon. Doesn't really make it fleishik, but if tomorrow you decide you don't want it to be parv anymore, you can't change it to milchik. Because since it's close to fleishik, when you pick, you have to pick fleishik. That's the halacha l'maisa, which means very, very little effect on our lifestyle, because it's pretty rare that we move parv to something else anyway. But, and it doesn't mean you have to make it fleishik. You just have to not make it milchik, right? You can always use it for parv. So that's what means halacha l'maisa. L'maisa, what does this mean? A parv kli that is close to becoming bisari can't be changed to chalavi, and of course, vice versa. That's all we take out of it, according to the Shach. This is what comes out the Maisa, Kiman Maskin Shul Mitei Krava, that if you have a new or parav pot, and you do something which is borderline close, but not really making it fleishik, you can't turn it milchik anymore. Because if you're going to pick something, you might as well pick what it's close to. And vice versa. That's the halacha l'maisa. Does it come up a ton? I don't think so. And that's enough for this. We'll pick up next time, Yirtzeh Hashem, with the second half of Sif, Hey, which is the Ramah starting from the Erev Shabbos Yerachos, which is the very strange minhag. And then we'll try to get as close as we can to the end of Simin Sadi Dalet, which I think we'll be able to get close to. I don't think we'll finish, but we'll be able to make some nice progress. Okay, if anyone has more questions, it's always a good time. Every time is a good time, starting now. That's the shach. Aha, so that's funny. Here, this shach being a little funny. The first time, it's like halavi, and if you decide to cook something real in it, it would have to be milk. But since you didn't decide what to do with it after the first time yet, and then you stuck the second time, now, what he's saying is this. The first time, now it has to be halavi. But it's not finalized until you actually make a halavi. No, until you cook milk in it. So at 1 o'clock, it should become halavi. But now at 2 o'clock, but it's not set in stone yet. It should become chalavi, but it's not set in stone. Now at 2 o'clock, that can still be reversed. And now at 2 o'clock, it can still be reversed. And now it should become bisari. So the should be is still subject to change if it becomes closer to the other side. It's subject to change until you actually make it milchik. That's what the shach assumes. You didn't have to assume that. You could. It's not a matter of being afraid. It's not so clear where this comes from. It seems to be a minute beyond. The minute is, if it looks close to being fleishik, you might as well make it fleishik.
stay where the other aspects are.
Okay, but still, if you then went and made it into a milking pot, it would look funny. Right, because we didn't say the menus you can't keep it pot, just that you can't change it to milk. Right, as I put on the board here.
Well, you can't change milk once you get it milk like it. Now you actually put it in it and make it look like
it. Okay, so again, we're not talking, I don't want to make it into the Taz. The Taz says, the first time it looked milchik, now it's irrevocably milchik. Second time it looked fleshik, it's irrevocably fleshik, and now it's treif. That's not the Shach. The Shach just says that once you're going to assign a gender to the pot, you should, he didn't say why, you know, the minig is when you sit down to assign a gender to the pot, it has to be the thing that it most looks like. And therefore, at 1:30, it most looks like milchik, so you'd have to assign it milchik. At 2:30, it most looks like fleishik, so you'd have to assign fleishik. You know, that's the logic being like, it's sort of 50-50 anyway, so you might as well. But it only becomes, for the Taz, it becomes nikba at 1 o'clock forever, and nikba at 2 o'clock forever. Because the Taz, it's mamish becomes milchik, becomes fleishik, I'll be minam. To the Shach, is that when you're deciding, you might as well go this way. When you're deciding, you might as well is always subject to revision. At 1 o'clock, when you're deciding, you might as well go to the milk side, because like it has more milk than meat in it, even though it's 0 versus 0, but it's closer to milk than meat. Once you get to 2 o'clock, now it has more meat than milk, because whatever's more recent is always going to be more potent. And so then you might, a svar of might as well is always subject to revision. That's the difference between the Shach and the Taz. Taz, like, it's a svar of gzeira atu chalos. Yeah, like, for example, what would the Shach say? Let's say at 1:30, you decided to cook meat in it. You didn't know this minhag. Now it's a meat pot, and who cares what happened at 1 o'clock, right? I mean, there's no lasting effect. It's just that if you're deciding, you might as well go that way. But if at 1:30 you cook meatballs, then it's a meat pot. Who cares what happened at 1 o'clock? That was like what should have influenced your decision. I'll be minhag, but it has no lasting power. It's just like something that should influence your decision when you sit down to make the decision. But if you preempted the decision, or if the circumstances changed before you make the decision, then it's subject to revision. I hope that was clear. Yeah, I mean, no one has to stay for questions if they don't want to.
I find it interesting when we got to the thing of Zayah, that we were taking a metaphor from Akhirish about the way that Zayah works in Akhirish. With this gene of Makushar, it sounds a lot like the concept of polish, where when we activate water as its own entity, independent from the mikvah, or from Maya, when it's disconnected from the for water. I was wondering if there's what the acronym.
I haven't seen that connection. I also haven't seen any mucker for it. They just get it as far.
They could have gotten Isaiah stuff as far too. They didn't even mention it.
It's a good point. How do they know this din of Akusher? You know what? It could be that I just didn't pay attention to where they got it from. Maybe they got it from some Sakura Rishon, which it has to come out of there. Or even from some Sakura Gemara that has to come out of. I can't think of any Sakura Gemara it could have been. Or that maybe something the Gemara about these cases. So I don't know what it comes from, but you know, I think it just comes from Svara one way or the other. Yes, Benjamin.
So I mean, the Shach, when I want to this once you began at the Shach of this year, you'd say no, you don't feel.
Or-